tonight. We're going to continue with our study. And how many of you know quite a bit about the early Christians, those fathers of the faith down through the ages? I find that when I'm talking to people, you know, a lot of times preachers, they will mention this guy, you know, C.S. Lewis, or they'll mention D.L. Moody or Savonarola. Anybody know Savonarola? Okay, didn't think so. But there's a lot of folks down through the ages that were tremendous influences in our heritage. And preachers know them, and Bible college students, they know them, because they're inundated with all that stuff. But most Christians in the pews, I don't think, really know these folks and where they came from. So as we're going through here, I'm just going to start pulling a few of these guys in, just maybe one each lesson, and just kind of give a little overview on them, because I think it's really important to see. You know, John Wesley, tremendous influence. His brother, I think they said he wrote 50 lines of poetry and psalms and scriptures, or for songs, every day of his life. He wrote over 8,000 of our songs, and many of them we still sing. These folks, we need to know who they are and the influence that they've been in our lives. Well, we appreciate confident leadership. I think all of us do. You can see the difference, and I don't care what party you're from. I don't think I'm in a party. We're going to have one tonight. I brought tracks for all you guys that are supporting the Eagles. You can get saved, you know, but going to be a big time tonight, and we're going to have a party afterward. But I don't care what political aspirations you have, but anybody that got a brain can see the difference in the leadership in our country. Not saying all of them are good, not saying all of them are bad, but you can see the difference. And people want confident leadership. Same thing in the pulpit. I've been in churches and around churches where, you know, a certain family runs the pastor and the church. And so the pastor, nobody has confidence in the pastor. Why? Well, they're going to have to run it through this family first before they preach it, or, you know, and people don't like that. We like confident leadership. And so when we're looking for leaders, we're looking for those that do have that confidence and those character qualities. Moses was anything but confident. As we look back at his life and everything, I mean, he spent 40 years now down there in Egypt, herding sheep. How much confidence do you think he has? He's run from the Egyptian government. They're going to kill him. And so he has no confidence. He's just out here tending to a bunch of sheep, has no intention. There's no indication at all that Moses ever intended to ever leave that desert. And his wife's family, and even his job, his vocation. Even after that miraculous appearing of God in the burning bush on the mountain, all Moses displayed was doubt. Continual doubt. He doubted everything. Now, doubt is uncertainty. or a lack of confidence. And so as you're thinking about Moses, he didn't have confidence. He's out there all by himself pretty much and just doing his thing. Has no real big responsibilities outside of taking care of some sheep, and that was basically it. No aspiration, no plan of moving forward or growth or anything like that. And so often we as Christians, we have the same problems that Moses had. We struggle to believe God. We really do. We struggle to believe God. We want a strong marriage. But we believe that's for certain people that are really dedicated to the Lord. They'll probably have a strong family, but we can't do that. About giving. Well, these rich folks, they can give. But us, I mean, you know, we're not rich, so, you know, there's not much we can do. And so that doubt begins to hinder our giving. We're supposed to witness. We all know we're supposed to be soul winners. We're supposed to tell others about Jesus Christ. But yet, isn't that for those that really can wax eloquent, that are very personable, or they can just walk up. They don't have never met a stranger. You know, like Shane. He never met a stranger. When he was a little kid, walked into a McDonald's there and everything. Some policemen were in line. He just walks up there, taps on, says, "Can I see your gun?" I mean, he just never met a stranger. And you say, well, that's the type of people that witness. No. We let doubt control us. We let doubt feed our fears. We begin to reason within ourselves that God cannot do it. Now, we might not say that out loud, but we reason ourselves into that place of doubting, where we actually expect God not to do even what we're wanting to see him do or halfway praying. And we live in that aspect of doubt. God promises to enable us for the work that he wants us to do. Now, how many of you believe that? God will enable us to do the work that he's called us to do. And we all say that, then why don't we do it? Because we really don't believe it. There's that doubt in our mind, well, that's for this person, and it'll work for them, but God's really not going to answer my prayer. And we have rationalized and delegated ourselves to this little closet, and we sit there in doubt. Moses had a burning bush, and boy, as we've been studying it, that was amazing. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the Word of God. We have much more than Moses. People say, well, you know, if I saw a miracle, what did he tell the rich man? Rich man was saying, go to my father's house, tell my brothers, if somebody rose from the dead and went to tell them, boy, I mean, they'd believe. And God says, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe God's word, he says, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead. And that's the whole thing with charismatics. They're all about the miracle, the miracle, the miracle, the miracle, the miracle, the miracle. Claim your miracle. God owes you to... What? No, God don't owe you nothing. And he gave us his word. And if we won't believe his word, we will not believe even if we see a miracle. And so we've got to get past this thing of doubt. Now, stop and think about Moses. I said, and going back through my notes last night, I started writing some of this stuff down. God revealed, just in that burning bush little thing, little event, God revealed his holiness, his immutability, his eternality, his compassion, his omnipresence, his omniscience, his sovereignty, and revealed that he's a God that literally can speak to us, not in a tongue we don't know, but speak to us and give us promises that he promises and will. The whole scripture is proving that God will do what he promised. Now, all he had was that little burning bush and God speaking to him. But as you look at it, all of that was in and being revealed to Moses. We have a personal, present God. Not one that, you know, you got to come to church to find him. Not one you got to go to a mountaintop and fast for 40 days. No, it's a God that personally lives in each one of us as believers. And he wants to have that personal relationship with us. That's not like any other God that they profess to have in the world. And so as God reveals himself to Moses here, he tries to overcome the doubt that Moses is experiencing. And it's real doubt. Moses looking at himself and saying, I can't do that. There's no way. We do the same thing. Pastor says, could you think about or pray about teaching a class? Well, I can't do that. Well, how about going out and visiting this person? What? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to go about that. And we, instead of embracing what God is wanting us to do, we recoil in doubt and we do not get to experience the blessings of God. So when I say that he had a burning bush, but we have the word of God, I want to go through some verses this morning that God has given us that should dispel the doubts that we have. You're going to go back and forth. I've got them all here on the, so you don't have to turn back and forth. But if you got those papers and stuff, it might be good to write them down. You can go back later and check them out again. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says, I can. What's that say? Who's he speaking to? You, me. I can do all things. How many? That means there is nothing that I cannot do. I can do all things through Christ. That's the key right there. It has nothing to do with your ability, my ability, how much we know, whether we've been to Bible college, whether we've got a doctorate degree or whether we have no degree, whether we have money, no money. Doesn't make any difference. I can do all things through Christ. What? Which strengthens me. He's the one that does it. God wasn't asking Moses to go take these people by himself and bring them out of Egypt. God says, I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to tell them who I am And I'm going to do all the work. I'm going to do the convincing and the convicting and the hardening of hearts and softening of hearts. He said, all I want to do is use you. I can do all things. Now, do we really believe that? I don't think we do. Now, Philippians 4:19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need. Everything you need. Not according to your wants, but according to his riches in glory. What's the key here? By Christ Jesus. What did he say? Who gives us strength in the first verse? Jesus Christ, by his strength. He's wanting to use us. That's why he says, God's going to supply all your need. Why? To do what he wants to accomplish for his glory. And it's going to be by his strength. Has nothing to do with us. We get our eyes on ourselves like Moses, and that's when we start doubting and coming up with excuses, because we know ourselves that we are incapable and we're not knowledgeable. And you say, well, you know, you've been a missionary and pastor and all this, that, and the other. I'm still scared to death every time I witness to somebody. You say, you kidding me? Not a bit. Not a bit. But I do it because that's what God said to do. And it's God that brings these verses to your memory, and God is the one that directs your conversation, and God will bring this experience back to give us an illustration or whatever. God is going to work in that witnessing, in the preaching, in the teaching, in whatever you do. It's his strength, not your strength. It's by Christ Jesus, not by you and me. And so if we want to get rid of the doubt, we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves and put them back on Jesus Christ and what he does. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. God says that he's given us the Word of God for this purpose of maturing, perfecting, helping us to grow to the point God can use us the way he wants us to use, or wants to use us. He's going to furnish, completely furnish us. What's that? That's a promise that if God wants you to teach Sunday school class, you can do it. If God wants you to drive a Sunday school bus, you can do it. If God wants you to work with young people, look for a jail ministry, because that's where you'll find me. I don't work well with kids. I'd kill them all. I probably better strike that out before we put that on there. No, I'm just not good at working with little kids. I've always, in my entire ministry, they've always put me teaching adults and things like this. Teenagers scare me to death. Other people, like Pastor, he said, I would rather teach kids. He didn't give that from me. Must have got that from Mama. Listen, but if God called me, and he has, and I have worked with them and through the years as God put me in the ministry, we had Christian schools, we started Christian schools, we taught homeschool, we did it all. Why? Because God says that the man of God may be perfect, mature, we need to grow up, thoroughly furnished, everything that we need. Whatever we need a little patience, God can give us patience. We need to figure out how to relate to these kids, God can do that. He can help us. I've had teenagers come back years later and say, boy, something that you said back there and everything, I had no idea that I was able to relate to them. I taught they had a daycare out there in Lancaster, and the teachers still say, you know, those kids have grown up now, and they still remember when you come to our class and we go through all these different things that we did and everything. Said God's still working in their lives these years later. How'd that happen? Wasn't this old boy. But God is going to strengthen you. God is going to equip you. He's going to give you whatever is necessary, thoroughly furnished, completely. God will give you what you need to accomplish the job that He has given us. And all good works. Not part, all. Just like He said in the other verse. He's made us, but have we allowed Him to mature us? Because He's trying, that the man of God may be perfect. That's that maturity. We need to get our eyes off ourselves, grow up, and put them on Jesus and what He can do, and then allow Him to work through us. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you. God is working in you. Every one of you in this building this morning, God is working in you. Both to will, He puts a desire to serve Him and to follow His leading. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. He's trying to direct us and guide us. So to will and to do, that's the equipping. He gives you what you need to do what? His good pleasure. Whatever God wants you to do, you can do. I mean, I'm just an old country boy, old hog farmer, didn't know enough to come in out of the rain. And God used it. How in the world? Me as a professor, are you out of your mind? But with God, all things are possible. So we've got to get this doubt. We've got to overcome this doubt and realize that God is working in us and wants to work through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. And God is able. Is He really? Do I believe that? Can God? And sad to say, we will say, yes, God can, but when God wants us to do something, we start pulling a Moses. Well, God, I can't. Well, I don't know. Well, they won't listen. Well, my mouth. Well, I just don't. And we do the same thing as Moses, and we come up with all the excuses. But my Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, not just on Monday or Tuesday or just a few days of the week, He said, always having all sufficiency, every bit of grace that you need to accomplish His purpose, all sufficiency, having that all sufficiency, we may abound to every good work. Is God able? If Pastor asked you to pray for the offering this morning, so not me. Yes, you. Ladies, maybe they'd ask you to teach the lesson for the ladies' fellowship next time. This is not me. Well, yes, you. Why? Because of who your God is. If he is your God, if he is able, as we say, if he has matured us, if we will trust him, if we will get our eyes off of ourselves and start believing, truly believing God, not just say we believe him, but truly believe him. He said, unless you believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder, you're not having faith. You don't believe. We say we do, but so did the Pharisees. They said they believed too. That you may abound, not just get the job enough for government work. I mean, get the job done right. Abound to every good work. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 9, he says, my grace, he just said, I give you sufficient grace for everything, but he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Obviously, we know he's talking about Paul. Paul was going through some real rough times. I mean, Paul was in and out of jail. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been stoned. Paul had been shipwrecked. Paul had been whooped. God says, my grace, Paul, is sufficient. Physical problem, my grace is sufficient. You might not be able to run as fast as you used to, but my grace is still sufficient to get the job done. Amen? Are you weak? He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. Again, it's not about us, it's about him. His strength is made perfect, complete. In weakness. How many of you are weak? I am. I am horribly weak. Whenever somebody calls and says, we want you to come preach a meeting, I sit there in my chair and I almost just shake. First of all, who am I? And what do I have to say that they've never heard before? That I can convince them to serve God and everything. And every time I want to say no. But God's called me. And what a privilege to let God be known. And everything that comes out of those meetings, I know that it wasn't me. It was God that done the work. It was God that spoke to hearts. I can't speak to a heart. It was God that saved those souls. It was God that called those people to preach. It was God that spoke to their hearts to increase their mission, giving all of that type of stuff. It's God, and we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves. And when the devil tries to put our eyes on ourselves and we say, boy, I'm scared to death. I don't think I can do this. God says, I can. And I will. If you will just let me. If you will let me do what I'm trying to do. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. Made complete. What? In my weakness. Through my weakness, God is able to show himself glorified. Is his grace sufficient? Acts 1, verse number 8. Watch this carefully. He says, but ye shall receive power. That means God's going to give you what you need. Notice all these verses has to do with equipping the saints. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's not about us. God says, I'm going to do it. I just want to do it through you. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you receive the Spirit of God at salvation, God says you have that power. What? He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's why I say, and I frost people, because I'm not trying to be ugly, but every Christian should be a soul winner. I don't mean you got to win 17 people a day. Don't mean you have to win one people a week. But you need to be a soul winner. You need to be that witness. Why? Because God gave you the power to do that. He said, all power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God says whatever it is, whether it's in missions or whether it's just here around Eaton or wherever you're from, God says, as a Christian, I've given you the power to witness. Well, No. Whose eyes are you looking at? You're looking back at yourself. Well, No. What can he do? First person that I ever knew much about witnessing, old Gunny Mitchell. He was a military guy, a gunny sergeant, and he was in the church. I'd just gotten saved, and they said there's this thing called soul winning. What's that? He said, well, we go out and tell people how we got saved. I said, okay. And so I went with a guy that led me to Christ and went out there, and he used verse after verse. He pleaded with him, and old Gunny, just a hard old sergeant, he said, I don't want nothing. And boy, God just broke my heart. I said, look at that guy, and he's going to hell. And I just began to weep. And all I said is, I looked at him, and with tears running down my face, I said, Gunny, God loves you. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know no verses. I said, God loves you. That's all said. And I went about my business. We left, and I took off flying over to Italy somewhere for several days. And then we come back, and I went out to church there, and they said, did you hear? They come running out. Did you hear? I said, hear what? They said, Gunny Mitchell came to church, got saved. I saw him coming out of church, and I said, Gunny, I heard you got saved. I said, how come? He said, you're the first person that's ever shed a tear for me. I didn't know what God was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. But God just broke my heart, and I didn't have no big witness or giving him all these verses and stuff. But just that was enough to touch his heart that somebody cared. And he went out to church there and got saved. Listen. These verses are real. They're serious stuff. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God can do. He gives us that power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You say, well, I'm afraid. That's not of God. That's why when fear starts coming up in my heart, before I come up here this morning, it was there. And I have to die to that. I have to die to self. I have to go ahead and do what God says. Why? Because God knows what he's doing. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, I might say something wrong. Have you ever heard me say anything wrong? How many times? It's not being perfect. It's not praying a perfect prayer. It's not giving a perfect offering. It's not giving a perfect witness. It's giving yourself to him. And say, I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but here I am. Use me. However you decide to use me, I'll try to follow your lead as best that I know how. And that's what God does. Doesn't give us that spirit of fear. When you start feeling that fear coming up about witnessing and things, that's not of God. God's the one that's prompting you to go tell them about him. Doesn't make any difference whether they accept him or not. That's not your problem. Ours is to obey the Lord. Why? Because he can and I can't. And just let him. He said he's given us a spirit of power. We know that God can. Of love. We know that God loves them and we should love them too. And of a sound mind. God will give us thoughts and direction that we had no idea where it come from. As I'm out there witnessing sometimes or sometimes preaching, that God just speaks to my heart and says this, and had no idea that God was just really going to do something tremendous. It's simply yielding yourself to him. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 24. Faithful is he which calleth you, who also will do it. He's called you for eternity. He's called you to salvation. How many of you think he can get you there? Amen. He'll take us all the way. He didn't take us to the desert and drop us off. He took us all the way to the promised land. That's what he promised to do. Now, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God wants you to teach Sunday school class, and I'm just using that for an illustration, then he'll do it. When God called me to go to the mission field and to preach, I said, you done made a mistake, God. He said, I don't make mistakes. If God speaks to your heart or speaks to your preacher's heart about you doing something, God's not making a mistake. You're making a mistake by holding on to pride and looking at yourself instead of Jesus Christ. You say, well, we're old folks. I don't see anybody dead in here this morning. We're still alive. We can still be used by God. We may not run that 100-yard dash with Mahomes or some of these guys, but we'll get down there to the other end. I just hope we have a good line to keep them guys away from tackling me. Do you have a spirit of fear? If you do, it's not of God. It is not of God. So who are you going to listen to? God or the devil? 1 Hebrews chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace make you what? That word perfect keeps coming up, doesn't it? He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to accomplish his purpose, what pleases him. He said, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We've seen that in verse after verse after verse after verse. Working in you. Remember the verse? He's working in us to do all of that. He says, that which pleaseth or well pleasing in his sight. That makes a difference what we think, it's what how he sees things. What's pleasing in his sight? He says, it's through Jesus Christ. There's that key again. It comes right back to everything has to do with Jesus Christ. Our ability to witness, our ability to teach, our ability to speak, our ability for anything, all comes back to the strength that Jesus Christ gives us. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I preach, the one thing I ask God for is that he gets the glory out of what I'm saying. Not that I get to be the big man or something like this. I'd rather sit out there and listen to my son and other preachers. But that God might get the glory. I gave the devil enough glory for 26 years. But somehow, if God can take this old wretched sinner and get some glory, that's what I want. If it means going over here and talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, God's going to get the glory. Doesn't make any difference whether the guy likes me or doesn't like me, or gets saved or doesn't get saved. I'm giving God the glory. Whether they get saved or not, God's going to get glory. Because I'm just simply going to obey him. Now listen, it doesn't go back to your past sins. It doesn't go back to all this other. It goes back to Jesus Christ. You've got to get rid of this doubt. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him and whether we will let him have his way. And he'll do great things. Moses, at this burning bush, God is wanting to use him, and we know how great God will use him and does use him, but Moses doesn't know that. And just through this fiery bush, God says, I want to use you, Moses. And Moses is filled with doubt because Moses looks and it's all about him. And we have more than Moses did. We have the Word of God. And this is just a few verses that talks about God equipping us and calling us to serve him and do of his good pleasure and what is well-pleasing in his sight and all of these different things to serve him. And he said, I want you to know something. I can. You can't, but I can. But I'm not going to force you. You have to let me. You have to let me. You have to say, yes, sir. I don't know how you're going to accomplish this. I don't know what I'm doing. But I believe that you can and you will equip me like you said. And I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Amen? Get over this doubt stuff. Because that is not of God. The spirit of fear is not of God. May we pray. Father, we've seen the character and the promises that you've made in your word, promise after promise, verse after verse. Lord, help us to just believe you and then go ahead and say, yes, sir, and just get after it, whatever it is, that we might honor and please you and get rid of doubt like Moses and allow you to use us and see great things that we have no idea that's possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.